Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. In this audio, I am going to cover Genesis chapter 24, verses 29 through 61. I'm going to call this Abraham's servant in Aram bargains with Laban for Rebekah. Our context is this. In the first 28 verses of Genesis 24, we find Abraham's servant, probably Eliezer, being sent by Abraham to Padan Aram to find Rebekah, which he does when he finds Rebekah at the well, and Rebekah waters his camels and gives Eliezer some water. Eliezer is asked for lodging, and in verse 29, where we'll start in Genesis 24, we read this, "Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring." In verse 28, we see that Rebekah had run to her mother's household and said, "Hey, we've got this big rich guy. Got 10 camels full of silver and gold articles and garments, and he's come and he wants to stay with us." And so she ran to let her mother start preparing things. So in verse 29, we find that Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. So Laban was not content to wait for the man to come, or he was not content to walk to Eliezer at the well. Eliezer was standing there waiting for a response. He ran outside to the man at the spring. He ran outside to Eliezer. Why did he run? Well, the man was rich. Eliezer had a bunch of gold and silver articles on his camels. I wonder how in the world you travel through a desert like that with gold and silver on top of your camels and not get robbed. Well, we will see as we go through here that Eliezer had servants with him. They were probably armed. He probably had his little armed retinue as they went through the desert there. Now, Laban is mentioned here. He's perhaps the elder brother of Rebekah. He's now the leader of the family because Bethuel is either old. Rebekah's father was named Bethuel. He was either old, too old to do anything, or he was dead maybe. And the Bethuel that's mentioned in the story later on might be Rebekah's brother. Now, Jameson Fawcett Brown says that Eliezer's running is illustrative of his character. It could be said that the dazzling presence on the camels prompted his haste. We go to verse 30 and 31 of Genesis 24. When he saw the ring, that's Laban, saw the ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" Notice that this little detail is mentioned in verse 30. When he, Laban, saw the ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, that was the nose ring and the two bracelets made of gold that Eliezer had given Rebekah when he saw Rebekah feeding his camels in response to the sign he had prayed to the Lord, "If show me the girl to marry Isaac. If she waters my camels as well as me, then I'll know that's the girl." Well, this little detail is mentioned when Laban saw this nose ring and the two bracelets. And the bracelet on his sister's wrist, one bracelet on each wrist. When he saw that, he's thinking, money. So Laban's probably thinking, well, if I invite this rich man into my house, maybe he'll give me some more gifts. We go to verses 32 through 36 of Genesis 24. So the man entered the house as Eliezer entered Laban's house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, "I will not eat until I have told my business." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant." This is Eliezer speaking. "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master Abraham, and so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks. And he, God, has given him, Abraham, flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, Abraham's wife, bore a son to my master, that's Isaac, in her old age, and Abraham has given him, Isaac, all that he, Abraham, has." Now notice that Laban is offered to wash the feet of the men who were with Eliezer. That shows that Eliezer did not come by himself. Now there was a verse 23 in Genesis 24, which I mentioned in the last audio, and I didn't mention the fact that men would be with Eliezer, which was my bad. Genesis 24:23 says this, "Whose daughter are you?" he asked. That's Eliezer asked Rebekah. "Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And I said, the us is probably Eliezer and his camels. Well, that's probably not too likely. It's probably talking about us, Eliezer and his servants and his armed retinue. Now notice Eliezer says, I don't want to eat until I've told my business. He's just traveled a long way. He's tired. Now most people want to eat and sleep before they do anything. No, he wants to find a wife for Isaac. That's number one priority. He's in a hurry. Verse 34, Eliezer says, I am Abraham's servant. Now Laban might not have realized before that Eliezer is acting as an agent for Abraham. He might have thought that he was acting on his own motion with all that money, all those wealthy articles of wealth. But now he knows that Eliezer is working for Abraham and representing Abraham. Verse 35, Eliezer says to Laban, the Lord has greatly blessed my master Abraham, so that he has become rich. Yahweh was not a socialist. He had nothing, no problem at all with people getting rich. How did Abraham get rich? Verse 35, the Lord has greatly blessed my master. That means the Lord made Abraham rich. That means Yahweh was not a socialist, unlike certain members of a certain political party prominent in America, whose name I will not mention because I do not want to profane the holiness of this podcast. In verse 36, Eliezer says to Laban, now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age. Now, mentioning Sarah would be mentioning someone who was probably well known to Rebekah's family, because after all, Abraham was the patriarch, right? He'd been around for a while in Haran before he left for the Promised Land. Now, Sarah was either Abraham's half-sister, because his father Terah had another wife who had a daughter, Sarah, and he married his half-sister. I think that's what most people think. Some of the old commentators said that she might have been the Iscah, who was the daughter of Milcah, who was the daughter of Abraham's older brother, Haran. Older brother, Haran, which would make Sarah his niece rather than his half-sister. But whoever she was probably well known to Abraham's family, so that's why Eliezer mentions Sarah and Abraham, because they all know who Sarah and Abraham were. In verse 36, Eliezer says, he, Abraham, has given him, Isaac, all that he has. Now, I don't think that means the property was in hand. It meant he had made Isaac his sole heir, and he would get it when Abraham died. We turn now to Genesis 24, verses 37 through 41. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. But you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow me. He said to me, the Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. Now, this is word for word, which was stated in verses 3 through 9, which I covered in the last audio. So I'm not going to go over that again. You can listen to that audio again if you want to know some more details about that. So we move to Genesis 24, verses 42 through 49. So I came today to the spring, Eliezer continues, and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, you drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, and that way we know this was a silent prayer that Eliezer's making to God, before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. The jar is on her shoulder. In the previous audio, I said the jar might have been on her head. Another little screw up. My apologies. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son. Now remember, Nahor is Abraham's older brother, and Bethuel was Abraham's nephew, and she was the daughter of Bethuel, so that made Rebekah Abraham's grandniece. I will put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. Eliezer continues, and I bowed low and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or the left. So after Eliezer finishes telling what's happened back at the well, he says, now deal with me kindly or let me go to my right hand or the left. And what he means by that is, he's going to look for some more daughters somewhere else. Now, where would he look? Well, he could look for some daughters of the other sons of Nahor. Nahor had 7 more sons by Milcah other than Bethuel. Nahor had 7 more sons other than Bethuel, Milcah being the mother of all these sons. We read this in Genesis 22, 20 through 24. Now, it came about after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, "Behold, Milcah." Remember, Milcah is Abraham's brother Haran's daughter, his niece. "Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Here are the children, Uz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hadzo, and Pildash, and Jidlap, and Bethuel." Of course, Bethuel is Rebekah's father, but there was all these other people that had might have had daughters. Uz, and Buz, and Kemuel, and Chesed, and Hadzo, and Pildash, and Jidlap. And Nahor had a concubine named Ruma who had 4 more children, but I don't think that Eliezer's going to be interested in the children of a concubine. But there was plenty of women around in the family that could have served as Isaac's wife. So that's why he's saying, "Hey, Laban, let me have Rebekah. If you don't want to have Rebekah, I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to turn to either my right hand or my left hand." As I said in verse 45, the prayer that Eliezer prayed to the Lord, which was, "The one that waters my camels, Lord, let that be the one." That was probably said in his heart, mentally, not vocally, probably because the servants were around and hearing that might have invaded Eliezer's privacy a little bit, perhaps. We go now to Genesis 24, verses 50 through 53. "Then Laban and Bethuel replied." Now let's just stop here. This Bethuel, you think, well, that's probably Rebekah's father. But the problem is, if it was Rebekah's father, it would be just be Bethuel replied, because the father handles the negotiation for a daughter's marriage, not a father and a brother. So this is either Bethuel, the father, who is so old he can't really carry out the negotiations, so Laban does it, or it's Rebekah's brother Bethuel, named after the father Bethuel. I tend to think it's the brother. "Laban and Bethuel say, 'The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good.'" They say that to Eliezer. In other words, they're not going to pass judgment on whether God really spoke to Eliezer the way he said Eliezer, the way Eliezer said that God had spoken to him. They're not going to pass judgment on that. They're not going to say whether that's good and bad. There's no point in giving our opinion. The answer is so obviously from the Lord. I mean, if the Lord said it, who are we to say whether that's bad or good? Who are we to pass judgment? "Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go." Well, they were very fast to believe God's revealed will to Eliezer, and I think the money probably had a lot to do with that. So, I mean, I hate to be cynical, but I wouldn't doubt it. Now, when they say take her and go, they meant not at that very minute. Afterwards, they solicit Rebekah to stay with them, stay with Laban and Bethuel a little while, 10 days or so. But they meant basically roughly at that time to go. So, you have our permission. Go. So, in verse 53, Eliezer brought out articles of silver and gold, the ones he had carried on his 10 camels, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother, that would be Laban, and to her mother. Now, this mother is interesting, Rebekah's mother, never mentioned in those scriptures. We don't know what her name was. She, no doubt, consented to the marriage also, as Gill says. Her name is unknown, is what Wikipedia says about Rebekah's mother. Quote, "Despite the obvious importance of Rebekah's mother in the narrative of this Bible passage, scholars have yet to reveal the name of Rebekah's mother. Some sources indicate that the name of Rebekah's mother is not revealed because she was not of the same tribe." Well, who knows? She's lost to history. Now, all of these articles of silver and gold were Rebekah's bride price, which was customary back then. You marry somebody, you give them money. A bride price was meant to show that the man marrying the girl had the financial wherewithal to support her, because it's a terrible thing for a father to lose his daughter and the husband won't be able to support her. Application for today: your daughter is about to marry somebody. The very first question, or the second question, the first question you should ask of the potential husband is, are you a radical disciple of Jesus Christ? And the second question you should ask him, do you have a good job? Will you support my daughter? That hasn't changed. We go now to Genesis 24, verses 54 through 56. "Then he," that's Eliezer, "and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night." I finally got to eat. Finally got to drink something. Got the business taken care of. "When they arose in the morning, he said, 'Send me away to my master.'" Eliezer's a man in a hurry. He doesn't want to hang around. He says, "Let's go." Verse 55, but her, that's Rebekah's brother, and her mother said, that's Laban and Rebekah's mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go. Now, this is a perfectly reasonable request. As John Gill points out, it was customary for espoused virgins to stay a considerable time in her father's house. I mean, after all, Rebekah's going into a distant country. It's very likely Rebekah and her friends and family would never see each other again. Now, our text here says 10 days. The Hebrew is obscure here, as Adam Clark says. The KJV margin has a year or 10 months. Let the girl stay with us a year or 10 months. Whoa, now that's, in that case, if that's the true reading, then it's more understandable that Eliezer turned down the request. But 10 days, you would have think Eliezer would say, okay, yeah, 10 days. Rebekah, say farewells to all your friends and family. But no, Eliezer said, send me away. I want to go. Do not delay me, he says in verse 56. Let me out of here. I mean, Eliezer's hot to get back with Rebekah and report that his mission was accomplished. Since the Lord had prospered his way. Prospered means made his trip successful in finding a bride for Isaac. By the way, that's an example of how the word prosper is not used with financial prosperity, just in case you run into a prosperity fanatic, a name it and claim it, blab it and crab it, ball it and blab it and grab it, scream it and redeem it, follower of E.W. Kenyon, a Copeland Haganite. Prosperity does not always mean money. For example, do you pray for the prosperity of the gospel? It just means that the gospel would be a success. We go now to Genesis 24, verses 57 through 60. And they said, that would be Laban and Rebekah's mother. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. That's nice. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Now, why did they need to call Rebekah? She was probably not present there during the negotiations. She had probably, through modesty, had withdrawn into her own apartment. You know, the women's compartment was at the back of the tents back then. Now, the fact that the girl was consulted, it means that the decision to go was left up to Rebekah, which was real nice of them, but that decision was not whether she was to be married. That had already been decided. Now, I will say this. I read somewhere a long time ago, I think it was with that well-known theonomist Rauschus Rushdoony, who was an expert on Old Testament law. He said that it was usual for girls in cultures back then where marriages were arranged, it was very usual for the father and the mother to consult the girl and say, look, if we hit you up with this guy, is that okay with you? And if the girl really didn't like the guy, the father would not force it on her. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But at any rate, Rachel, she decides to go. She said, no, I'm not going to hang around for 10 days. I'm going to go. And verse 59 says, they sent their sister Rebekah away. Who's the they? Well, it could be Rebekah's mother and brother Laban. That's probably who it is. It could be all the relatives and brothers and sisters she may have had there, John Gill says. Whoever it was, sent away their sister Rebekah. And sister there might not mean sister in the literal sense. It might mean someone who is close. Amongst all the relatives there, my sister, it might be a niece, it might be a cousin, but you call her a sister. That happens all the time, and especially in foreign languages like Chinese, and apparently here too, I would suspect. So anyway, whoever it was, all the relatives of Rebekah say, farewell, Rebekah. They sent a nurse along with Eliezer and his men. A nurse went. We also know that we know that Rebekah's nurse was named Deborah. We read that in Genesis 35:8. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak. So that means this nurse stayed with Rebekah a long time. Rebekah had other female attendants also on this trip back to the promised land. Genesis 24, verse 61, our very next verse. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man with her maids. So she had maids as well as a nurse. Now in verse 60, Rebekah's relatives sent her off by saying this, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. That sounds an awful lot like the promise of descendants to Abraham, the famous promise. Now that promise to Abraham may have been revealed by Eliezer to Rebekah's family, which would explain the blessing that they gave to Rebekah upon their parting. We know that the promise that Sarah would be the mother of 10,000s was fulfilled. the Israelites and the Edomites sprang from her because she was the mother of Jacob, the father of the Israelites, the ancestor of the Israelites. Sarah was also the mother, excuse me, not Sarah. Rebekah was also the mother of Esau, who was the father of the Edomites. Well, the Israelites and Edomites, that's a ton of people. And not only that, that's descendants from her as the mother of Jacob and Esau, but also as wife of Isaac. All of Abraham's descendants came through her. I'm sitting here trying to think, did Abraham have any descendants besides Jacob and Esau, besides the Israelites and Edomites? I bet he did, but I don't know off the top of my head. But anyway, Sarah was the mother of 10,000s, and so that benediction that was given to her as she left her home stomping grounds there in Padan Aram, she became the mother of thousands of 10,000s. Now, this promise to Abraham, it bears repeating because it shows up so many times. When Abraham separated from Lot at Hebron and Lot went to Sodom, in Genesis 13:16, we read, "I will make your descendants," God says to Abraham, "as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered," which is not going to happen, of course. There's so many descendants you can't count them. Uncountable. Genesis 15:5, at the cutting of the covenant with Abraham, and he, God, took him, Abraham, outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he, God, said to him, "Abraham, so shall your descendants be, like the stars, uncountable." Genesis 22:17, this was spoken after Isaac was delivered from being sacrificed on Mount Moriah. God says to Abraham, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." So you see, this promise of a multitude of descendants had been given to Abraham, and I'm sure that Eliezer conveyed this to Abraham's relatives in Syria. Notice that in Genesis 22:17, which happened at Mount Moriah, when Isaac was delivered from being sacrificed, God tells Abraham, "Your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." Well, that's exactly what Rebekah's relatives say upon wishing her farewell. They said, "May your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them," or the gate of your enemies, basically. So this promise, and we need to really get this in our heads, this promise to Abraham, that's what the whole Old Covenant is about. The Old Testament, I should say. Not the Mosaic Covenant, but all of the Old Testament is about the promises to Abraham. And I always remember this, three promises, land, offspring, and blessing. Lob, land, offspring, and blessing. Now, one more verse and we'll finish this up. Well, first of all, let's talk about how, I've already mentioned how physically the offspring of Rebecca and Isaac were like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Let's look at another verse that shows how this promise was fulfilled physically in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 4:20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore. Well, we heard that before. They were eating and drinking and rejoicing. So it was fulfilled in 1 Kings 4:20. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it was fulfilled several places. Let me read you Galatians 3:16. "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham," land, offspring, and blessing. "The promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say "into seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, that is to your seed that is Christ. So that's another fulfillment. There was one seed of Abraham, which is Jesus. And of course, I don't have the verses with me. In Romans 4, we are children of Abraham. Christians are children of Abraham. Father Abraham, we are one of them. So this Rebecca, now think about this. She's willing to leave her hometown and all that she knows. She's a young virgin maid to go live with strangers in a strange land. They have a lot of money. They're wealthy as nomads, but they don't own any land. But she goes anyway. Verse 61, "Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man, Eliezer. So the servant, Eliezer, took Rebekah and departed." Those camels that they got on were the 10 camels the servants Eliezer had brought with him. They got and went. They didn't wait the 10 days that Laban and Rebekah's mother wanted. Boom! And one day, Rebekah's mother saw her daughter disappear. She was there, and the next day she was gone. Well, at least they had a bunch of money. I don't know. This seems kind of rough to me, but that's the way they lived back then. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now finished with Genesis chapter 24, verses 29 through 61. Rebekah is probably betrothed, and she's heading to meet her new groom, her future husband, which we'll see in our next audio. I hope you stay tuned for that one. I hope you enjoyed this one.